Here are the WGXC headlines for Friday, March 3rd. Alice Bialatsky, the top human rights advocate in Belarus and one of the winners of the 2022 Nobel Peace Prize, was sentenced to 10 years in prison for violating public order and smuggling, a Belarusian court on March 3rd said. Former President Donald Trump can be sued by injured Capitol Police officers and Democratic lawmakers over the January 6, 2021 insurrection at the U.S. Capitol, the Justice Department said March 2nd. Residents in an Ohio town say they're still suffering from illnesses nearly a month after a train carrying toxic chemicals derailed, and they got to confront the railroad's operator March 2nd at a town forum. Quote, "It's not safe here," unquote, said one man, staring straight at representatives of the Norfolk Southern Railroad. Quote, "I'm begging you, by the grace of God, please get our people out of here," unquote. The Ulster County Finance Commissioner is resigning after an embezzlement accusation. Bert Golnick is alleged to have stolen funds from the Hurley Recreation Association while serving as its treasurer. He was also sued for discrimination last year. Ex-Rensselaer County jail guard Sean Morrissey was sentenced to weekends in jail for sexually abusing a prisoner. Teachers in the city of Hudson schools said this week they want to ban cell phones there after several video recordings of fights in the middle school were posted online. Columbia Memorial health officials are staying mum about where they might put a new medical facility in Greene County after being awarded a $5 million state grant for the project. Catskill and Coxsackie have been mentioned as possible locations. And it was announced on March 2nd that jazz legend Wayne Shorter has died. He was 89.
You are listening to WGXC ICRA, hands-on creative community radio at 90.7 FM and streaming live online at WGXC.org. WGXC is a program division of Wave Farm.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you have tuned into WGXC's morning show, the WGXC morning show, live from Acre. And this morning we're going to speak just a few minutes with Jonathan Bix, the executive director of the For the Many activist group, explaining how his group is trying to expand into Columbia County. We'll hear all about that, and we'll hear the better weather from the Catskill Makers Syndicate, the national headlines from the Public News Service, and more. We've got brand new music from Feist, and finally available on streaming services, music from De La Soul on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned for it all. It's coming up next with the daily news first. Stay tuned.
This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns the blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns the blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
Most radio shows don't come with a demonstration, but most radio shows aren't Radio Wonderland.
Greatest hits.
Right, so then I take more pieces of live radio, slice them, fit them into the groove, and then in a few minutes you get something like...
In LA, some restrictions apply.
It's radio made completely out of radio. I'm Joshua, but you just call me Radio Wonderland.
In LA,
10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings till 11.
Some restrictions apply.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Sabisha Friedberg of New York, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Daily News for Friday, March 3rd. Go to the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about any of these stories. Jamel Cutler reports for Columbia Green Media that some renters in Hudson are getting a break as Section 8 housing vouchers have been increased to 120% as of March 1st. In the city, the Hudson Housing Authority will cover that much more of rent with the vouchers. Authority Executive Director Jeffrey Dodson said at the authority's recent board of directors meeting, quote, housing vouchers are highly effective at reducing homelessness, housing instability and overcrowding, and at improving other outcomes for families. These vouchers are important because they give people with low incomes greater choice about where they live and ensure that initiatives to build or rehabilitate housing reach those who most need assistance, unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Luke Parsnow reports at New York State of Politics that the state's Cannabis Control Board and the Office of Cannabis Management will double the number of adult-use cannabis business licenses from 150 to 300. New York's government has been criticized for the slow rollout of legal stores in the state. New York legalized cannabis in April 2021, and stores selling cannabis were expected to open last year, but only one did in Manhattan, opened in late December. Since then, another opened in New York City and one opened in Binghamton. A lawsuit is blocking stores opening in five regions of the state, including the Hudson Valley. So far, 66 provisional licenses have been issued for stores out of 900 applications. There have been several other reports that stores may open soon in and around Albany. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Nancy Kern reports in Columbia Green Media that State Senator Michelle Hinchey is crowing about unanimous passage in the state Senate of several agricultural bills she sponsored. One bill would require any arm of the government that purchases food to purchase a percentage locally, but the story does not say what that percentage is. Another bill, Hinchey said, would, quote, establish a hotline with assistance from Cornell Cooperative Extension to connect farmers with information and support on tax credit programs, loans, grants, research, and marketing assistance, unquote. And a third bill, Hinchey said, quote, expands eligibility under the Agricultural Assessment Program so more New York farmers can access tax benefits, unquote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Raga Justin reports in the Times Union that some lawmakers in Albany are discussing reimbursing doulas helping women give birth through Medicaid. Doulas are trained professionals who help women through the stages of pregnancy and post-pregnancy complications. Rochester-based Democrat State Senator Samra Brook is sponsoring legislation that would direct the State Department of Health to create Medicaid reimbursement rates for doulas. There will be a hearing March 7th in the State Senate to consider expanding Medicaid coverage for women who want to hire doulas to assist with their births. Brock said she used a doula giving birth last year and said, quote, when you think about it, we can't even get that part right, how to bring life into this world and take care of the birthing person who's bringing that life into this world, unquote. Doulas look out for women, sometimes preventing postpartum depression and death. The maternal mortality rates in the U.S. are higher than other high-income nations and becoming higher since 2000. And black women are about five times more likely to die from pregnancy-related complications than white women, according to the Department of Health. Other states have begun offering Medicaid reimbursements for doula services, according to Georgetown University's Health Policy Institute. Read more about this story in the Albany Times Union. And read more about any of these stories in the WGXC newsroom at wgxc.org.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
The new START treaty, which places verifiable limits on the nuclear arsenals of the United States and the Russian Federation. Mutual compliance is in the interest of both our countries.
During the G20 summit in India, Secretary of State Antony Blinken met with Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov. Blinken urged Russia to call off its invasion of Ukraine and continue abiding by the START Treaty. While no agreement at the summit was reached on addressing the war in Ukraine, some feel Blinken's and Lavrov's first meeting since the crisis in Ukraine began showed communication is open between Washington and Moscow, if only for the moment. Meanwhile, the Conservative Political Action Conference began in Maryland on Thursday, marked by mostly disparaging remarks and conversations about Democrats, liberals, and the Biden administration. While some opined about the White House's response to such crises as a Chinese spy balloon floating across the country, fentanyl overdoses in the U.S., and illegal aliens entering from the southern border, others spoke of how to make America great again. Louisiana Senator John Kennedy said that under Republican leadership, the nation thrived.
In 4 years, we cut taxes, increased wages, delivered 3.5% unemployment, created 8 million new jobs, deregulated the economy, controlled inflation, protected life.
Keynote speakers of the first day were Alabama Senator Tommy Tuberville and former Acting Attorney General Matt Whitaker, who discussed wokeness in schools. Today, Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley is expected to deliver remarks. The conference will culminate Saturday with a speech by former President Donald Trump. Community health care executives from across the country testified before the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee. They spoke on a range of issues from Medicare reimbursements to mental health and staffing shortages. Carolina Health Center's president and CEO Sue Veer described a new way her organization has been able to lure people to work in the community healthcare system.
One of the things that we've recently done is begun to provide stipends, living stipends in second year residency with a commitment for a 4-year service agreement. Yep. So in addition to loan repayment, that helps us.
Now that the Supreme Court has heard oral arguments in two cases about President Joe Biden's student loan forgiveness program, its advocates are concerned the program might not endure. Wisdom Cole with the NAACP notes there needs to be a reevaluation of how people think about student loan debt.
We need to recognize and reshift our thinking about how we're thinking about student debt, thinking about this as an opportunity to right the wrongs of the past, an opportunity to reduce the racial wealth gap.
I'm Edwin J. Vieira for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. State legislatures have been in a pro-voter, anti-voter tug of war this week, with some embracing election safety and voter access, and others conspiracies and voter suppression. In Michigan, lawmakers heard a bill banning firearms within 100 feet of a polling place and making it a felony to threaten an election official. The New Mexico Senate heard HB 4, a sweeping voter access bill which includes a permanent list of voters who choose mail-in ballots. Georgia legislators are readying even more anti-voter restrictions, including the banning of drop boxes, using the U.S. Postal Service change of address list as grounds for removing a voter from the registration list, and several other restrictions. The Idaho Senate passed an anti-voter resolution making it more difficult to obtain qualifying signatures for a citizen ballot initiative by requiring signatures from 6% of eligible voters in each county, not just statewide. A Colorado House committee killed an election denier bill which proposed a complicated blockchain technology allowing voters to verify that their vote was applied to their candidate of choice. The Colorado Secretary of State's office testified that it relied on an unrecognized and unavailable technology. And a Maryland legislator has proposed the Election Reform Act, which, among several changes, authorizes processing of mail-in ballots before Election Day and adds protections for election workers. We have more details on this legislation at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Veal.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, March 3rd. Local early morning temperatures range from 23 degrees in Tannersville to 34 in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 34 degrees. A mostly sunny morning gives way to a cloudy afternoon. A bit of rain kicks off the coming precipitation around 3 p.m. That's when temperatures peak at 40 degrees. By dark, it should turn to snow, then drop 2 inches by midnight. It then changes to sleet and freezing rain till around 9 a.m. Saturday, when it turns back to rain for at least the morning. After 12 p.m., the rain turns back to snow and we get a high temperature of 38 degrees. Overnight, more light snow and a low temperature of 28 degrees. Sunday dries out and we see a high of 43. Monday, still dry with a high of 44. Sunset today will be at 5:33 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:24 a.m. Looking way up, we see an incoming CME is expected to make minor geomagnetic unrest tonight. X-class flare chances are at 10%. Solar wind speed is currently 527.2 kilometers per second at 3.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark, then fair across the board overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3.6, quiet. The current sunspot number is 103. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
You're listening to Wireless Reconnaissance, Broadcast Surveillance, Transmission Art, and more Saturdays on WGXC 90.7 FM Creative Community Radio. All right, I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and next on WGXC, we're going to speak with Jonathan Bix, the executive director of the For the Many activist group that has been active in Dutchess, Orange, and Ulster counties recently. And they announced on February 27th they are expanding into Columbia County. Jonathan, thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me, Tom.
Tell us why you're coming to Columbia County.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you mentioned, we've been working adjacently for a while, but we've also worked with some Columbia County organizations for years on statewide campaigns. We've worked elsewhere in the state legislative districts that include Columbia County for a number of years. And of course, Hudson and Columbia County are facing a lot of the same issues that we've been seeing and working on for a long time elsewhere in the Hudson Valley, including but not limited to the big issue of affordable housing. And we do have some existing supporters that have plugged into our work remotely from the area. So we just thought it made sense, given all that, and the importance of, you know, taking action around these progressive issues that we work on in the coming years, both at the state level and local level, and how that applies to Hudson and Columbia County.
Yeah, can you tell some of our listeners about the things that you do, the kind of things that you do, and the, I guess, specific things that you've gotten done?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll start with our local work and then can talk a bit more about our statewide work. So locally, much of our focus has been on housing. So over the last year or so, we passed Good Cause Eviction in 4 cities in the Hudson Valley. That has, of course, sort of been challenged in courts. Albany's Good Cause Eviction Law was just overturned yesterday, so that's now a big statewide priority of ours, but that is, you know, a law that we've won in 4 cities in the Hudson Valley.
The judge said that municipalities can't pass this kind of law, and it has to be a state law, right?
Correct. Correct. Yep. And so we're working with other folks around the state to hopefully get that done on the state level this legislative session. We've also worked on expanding the Emergency Tenant Protection Act, or ETPA, which allows municipalities north of New York City to opt into rent stabilization that applies to buildings if they have 6 or more units and were built before 1974. So if a city opts into that law, what it means is a city that appoints a board that controls if and by how much rents go up in those units. So we helped pass that in Kingston. And we actually recently won in Kingston a 15% rent reduction for buildings that meet that criteria. And we're currently defending that law in court with the help of legal aid, but that was the first time, as far as we know, that a rent reduction has been won anywhere in the state. And we hope to expand ETPA into Hudson and other cities and municipalities in the area, and then also fight for rent reductions there as well. Any questions on the rent stabilization issue before I keep going?
Well, I was just going to note that many of the issues that most of the issues that you're addressing relate to the affordable housing crisis, which is just a huge issue in this the whole area.
Absolutely, yeah. And then sort of the other big local campaign we've been working on, which is another housing campaign, is our Homes Are Not Hotels campaign, which is around sort of short-term rental regulation and trying to limit the spread of Airbnbs. And I know a lot of work has already been done on that level in Hudson, but we are hoping to add to it. And specifically, we are trying to work with local lawmakers to ban what we call vacation rentals, which is where the owner doesn't actually live in the rental. And we think there are a huge reason why it's so hard to find, you know, places to rent or to buy. We have a lot of out-of-town investors coming in, buying up entire homes and listing them on Airbnb, you know, as kind of short-term rentals rather than long-term housing. And yeah, you know, we can sort of ban these vacation rentals while still allowing homeowners to rent out extra rooms or floors in their houses. And by doing that, we can still sort of like allow for that, but free up a lot more housing for people that actually live in Hudson. So that's another priority we've been working on locally.
And another major thing you got done was helped get an assembly member elected, right? There was a Democrat in the seat, and you got a Democrat socialist elected to that seat in the primary, and then they won the general election. Is that all correct?
Yep, that's all correct. We're definitely very proud of that work. Sarah Hanna had been somebody that we've been working for a long time and sort of statewide climate issues, and we helped her win her primary election by under 600 votes. And for that race, we made about 76,000 voter contacts by knocking on people's doors, making calls, sending texts. We sent out 80,000 pieces of mail to people's homes, and we made about 445,000 digital impressions through digital advertising on Facebook and Instagram for that campaign.
Yeah, I've been saying that this is a model for campaigns in Columbia and Greene County that don't do this sort of overwhelming grassroots efforts. I mean, I've been telling this story on election day. I had a dentist appointment in Ulster County, and I took a back route to get to where I was going, and there were folks with Sarah Hanna stress the signs on this back route in Ulster County on election day. Where I would not expect them to be, because they were everywhere in Ulster County.
Yeah.
I guess some of that was you guys, right?
Yep, it was an amazing grassroots campaign. That was, you know, not just us, it was also DSA and the Working Families Party, but we did play quite a large role in the campaign.
So are you, what specific issues are you looking at in Columbia County if you move here? Because it's a little bit of an if, because you want to raise some money to open an office and hire a staff in Columbia County, right?
Yes, that's all correct. And if people want to read sort of more about that and see the sort of capacity we need before we can expand, they can go to forthemoney.org or find us on social media, at Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, and read more about that. But yeah, so sort of in Hudson, as I mentioned, we would love to do ETPA expansion to strengthen short-term rental regulation. And we also want to plug people in Hudson and also outside of Hudson and broader Columbia County into our statewide campaigns as well. And we work on a number of issues at the state level, but our top priorities we talk about is our homes, energy, and wages platform. And so the homes piece is passing the Our Homes, Our Power legislative package, which includes statewide good cause eviction, which, again, is one of our top priorities, and would protect tenants from unjust evictions and rent hikes. In terms of energy, our number one priority at the state level is passing the Build Public Renewables Act, which, you know, is something that Sarah Hanna ran on and is a huge priority of hers, and that would direct New York State to build renewable energy projects and be able to sell them directly to families and sell energy at a reduced rate compared to current private utility companies. And then a last big priority in the state level for wages is to pass the Raise the Wage Act, which would increase the state minimum wage to $21.25 by 2027 and also index it to inflation so that in the future it increases automatically as cost of living go up.
So I got to ask you a news, breaking news sort of question. You're moving to Columbia County. There is an assembly member who is a Democrat, but kind of conservative. And, you know, their activists protested outside of her office last year because of she did not support some of these housing policies that you've been talking about this morning. And the more progressive mayor of Hudson, who still needs to run for his third term this year, is talking already about challenging Dede Barrett in the next assembly election. Are you have you been in discussion with Kamal Johnson, the mayor of Hudson, about that, or Dede Barrett about these issues?
Yeah, so we have definitely been very disappointed by Dede Barrett's lack of action around those critical issues. She hasn't signed on to any of those priority bills yet, has taken a number of votes in the past that we think are overly conservative and doesn't well represent her district. So we hope that, you know, in the near future that she sort of changes her stances on our key priorities. And I will say we do have a very strong relationship with Kamal Johnson, met with him recently. And yeah, all indications we sort of have are that we're very much aligned in terms of priority issues. So yeah, I mean, we eventually go through endorsement processes for all races, that we're a part of, and we're still a little bit out from our 2024 endorsement processes, but definitely keeping an eye on that very closely.
Now, our radio station is covers all of Greene and Columbia counties, little Massachusetts and little Dutchess and Ulster with its signal, but mostly Greene and Columbia, I think we're the only organization or facility in the area that has its name with Green before Columbia. Everybody else is Columbia Green College, Columbia Green this, Columbia Green that. We are WGXC, which stands for Green and Columbia. So our question to you is, why just Columbia County? Green County is ripe for the pickings. There's a giant environmental plant that's going to wreak havoc around Prattsville, proposed. And in Caro, the town supervisor is either totally incompetent or breaking the law. He's not told people the truth about the tax rate for 2 years in a row. He's claiming it's incompetence that their budget is so screwed up that they've been telling people that they're paying a lower tax rate than they actually are and reporting that to the state and all. But the people of Caro don't want to reelect him, and the Democrats aren't even running a candidate against him. And then you guys are not coming to Greene County. You're only coming to Columbia County. What's up with that?
Yeah, well, I would say we aren't ruling out doing work in Greene County. We are playing sort of open and base our office in Hudson, but we're definitely open to doing some work in Catskill and in Greene County. I think it's more that, you know, we need people in Greene County to reach out to us and say they want to take action with us. And if so, we will definitely find ways to make it happen. And again, people can sort of sign up for our list at our website, forthemoney.org. They can reach out to us on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter. But yeah, so I would say it's more that if people in Greene County are, you know, reaching out to us and asking to take action, then we're very open to doing work in Greene County as well.
And you're partnering with the Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition, which is partially based in Greene County, and the Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. So Columbia County sort of has more infrastructure for an activist group of your sort, right?
Right, absolutely. And yeah, those are the groups I was referring to earlier, Hudson Catskill Housing Coalition, Columbia County Sanctuary Movement. We've worked with them for a number of years. They're very close with amazing people there, like Claire Cousin and Brian McCormick. So sort of through them, I'm sure we will also be showing up and doing some work related to Greene County as well.
And if you just tuned in, we're speaking with Jonathan Bix, the executive director of the For the Many activist group, which has been based in Dutchess, Orange, and Ulster County, and is now planning to come to Columbia County. Jonathan, is there anything we left out that you want to tell people and remind people of the website again, too, for more information?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything significant that we've left out. We're just very excited to hopefully be expanding to Hudson and Columbia County and Greene County as per our discussion in the near future. And if folks want to help make that happen, they should find us at forthemany.org, sign up for our email list, and again, follow us at For the Many on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. But I think that's it. So thanks so much for having me on, Tom.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan Bix with the For the Many activist group announcing February 27th they're coming to Columbia County. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks. Have a good one.
All right. You are listening to the radio WGXC 90.7 FM. Today, the De La Soul catalog reaches streaming services, so you can hear 3 feet High and Rising as many times as you want if you subscribe to some sort of service. Here is De La Soul with Me, Myself, and I.
It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. Now you tease my plug one style and my plug one spectacle. You say plug one and two are hippies. No, we're not. That's pure plug four. Always pushing that we formed an image. Just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. Poems I speak the plug too tight. Please, oh please, let plug to be himself, not what you read or write. Right is wrong when hype is written on the soul, they lie that. Style is surely our own thing, not the false disguise of show. This De La Soul is from the soul, and this fact I can't deny. Strictly from the Dan called Sucky, and from me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. They diss my person by stating I'm darkly packed. I know this, so I point at Q-Tip and he states,
black is black.
Mirror, mirror on the wall, shovel chestnuts in my path. Just keep all nuts with the nuts so I don't get an aftermath. But if I do, I'll calmly punch them in the 4th day of July. Cause they try to mess with third degree, that's me, myself, and I. Myself and I. It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I.
Soul on the WGXC Morning Show with me, myself, and I on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM, your creative community radio station. Next, we hear 2023 new music from Feist. This is called Enlightening.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Green Media that the mayoral election in Tannersville this month between Democrat Lee McGonigal and Republican David Schneider is a study in contrast. Schneider is a newcomer who moved here during the pandemic. McGonigal was first elected mayor of Tannersville in 1994, served four terms, and after a brief interruption was elected again in 2007 and has been mayor ever since. McGonigal is running on his record as mayor, saying he has won millions of dollars in grants for the village. McGonigal said, and I quote, "These are the headwaters for New York City, and so there's only certain types of economic growth you can have here. My long tenure has been devoted to create an environment for growth," end quote. Schneider is from Brooklyn and is the owner of Talba, a Mediterranean restaurant on Main Street. He said, and I quote, "My family and I chose Tannersville as our forever home," end quote. Snyder has also worked with the Hunter Foundation, which owns many buildings in the village, including the one that includes Snyder's restaurant. He says that is not a conflict of interest. Snyder also does not think the New York State Attorney General's office should be investigating the two village board members who recently admitted they may be breaking the law by not living in the village. Voting in the village is from noon to 9 p.m. on March 16th. And you can read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Liz Montgomery reports for Porcupine Soup that State Senator Michelle Hinchey introduced her bill to permanently fund free breakfast and lunch for all New York school students at a rally at the state capitol on March 1st. Hinchey, a Democrat from Saugerties, has introduced S-1678A to require all public school districts, charter schools, and non-public schools in the state that participate in the National School Lunch Program or School Breakfast Program as provided in the National Child Nutrition Act to serve breakfast and lunch at no cost. Hinchey wants Governor Kathy Hochul to add $200 million to the state budget to fund the measure. Hinchey said, and I quote, "Healthy food is a form of health care, and it's time for New York to be a leader in addressing child hunger in our schools," end quote. New York City, Albany, Rochester, and Yonkers already offer universal free school meals. Read more about this story at Porcupine Soup. Mid-Hudson News reports that Representative Mark Molinaro, a Republican who represents the 19th Congressional District, wants to track the rural inflation rate. Molinaro has introduced a bill with a Colorado Democrat to monitor the consumer price index rates specifically in rural communities. Currently, the federal government tracks inflation overall, not specifically for urban or rural areas. Molinaro said, and I quote, "Rural New Yorkers should never be an afterthought. My bill creates a rural inflation metric, so cost of living increases in rural communities are thoroughly accounted for and considered," end quote. Read more about this story at Mid-Hudson News. Jamal Cutler reports in Columbia Green Media that the city of Hudson spent $35,000 for a Michigan company to recommend that the municipality hire a parking and mobility director. John Forrester, parking and mobility director at FISBEC in Grand Rapids, presented the results of his survey on February 28th. Mayoral aide Michael Hoffman said, and I quote, "The key finding is hiring a new staff member who would be at a director's level. The person would be in charge of overseeing the whole elements of parking so that there's one centralized person that both city and public officials can go to when it comes to parking," end quote. Hudson residents have long complained about not enough parking on Warren Street, a situation made worse by restaurants taking over spaces for outdoor dining during the pandemic. Forrester said, and I quote, "Daytime and residential parkers don't share very well because both want access to the parking 24 hours a day. Residents want to be able to come and go as they please without worrying about a parking spot. They don't expect someone else to be in their parking spot when they return home," end quote. Forrester also recommended more backyard parking and doing away with Hudson's parking meters and replacing them with pay stations using credit cards for payments. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. You can visit our website at WGXE.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXE sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXE Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
New York lawmakers have introduced a bill to ban radioactive waste from being discharged from the Indian Point Energy Center. This comes as the facility's owner, Holtec International, is considering dumping treated, but still radioactive, waste into the Hudson River. The river has a history of pollutants being dumped into it, and some 200 river miles are classified as a Superfund site by the EPA. During a forum about the implications of Holtec's actions, physicist Dr. Helen Caldicott describes some of what could end up in the Hudson, such as as tritium.
You can't remove tritium from water because tritium becomes part of the water, H3O instead of H2O. Tritium gets out into the atmosphere from nuclear power plants, and if you're immersed in a cloud of fog near a nuclear power plant, the tritium in the fog can actually enter the skin.
The bill has been introduced by State Senator Peter Harkham. It would fine violators $25,000 a day if caught dumping radiological agents into New York State waters. Second violation fines would increase to $50,000 a day. The bill is under review in the State Senate Environmental Conservation Committee. Up to this point, Holtec International has worked closely with state agencies to ensure a safe process based partly on the joint proposal to decommission Indian Point. Dr. Diane Turco with Cape Downwinders says this is a moment when elected officials need to stand up for their constituents.
Let's see, can our laws really protect the people? And can our legislators and our elected officials do the best for the people? This is a real big test.
Earlier this month, at a meeting of the Indian Point Closure Task Force and Decommissioning Oversight Board, residents spoke against dumping the waste and recommended other methods. One option is leaving the waste in tanks on site so radioactive agents are safer to remove. Others include transferring it to out-of-state sites and possibly allowing the wastewater to evaporate. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC renewable weather forecast for Friday, March 3rd. We begin each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. The Mobil in Cairo has gas at $3.35 a gallon. That's the lowest according to the Gas Buddy website. The air quality forecast is a 31. That's considered low on Friday. The UV index is a 3. That's considered moderate, but is sort of high for winter months. The water temperature in the Hudson River in Albany is 39 degrees on the nose, and that is several degrees higher than normal. On March 3rd, over the last 10 years, the temperature has averaged 36.38 degrees, so almost 3 degrees warmer this year. National Weather Service in Albany has issued a winter weather advisory in effect at 6 p.m. March 3rd through 7 p.m. March 4th. And that's because snow is on the way, mainly after 5 p.m., with increasing clouds during the day on Friday and a high of 37. There'll be a northwest wind 5 to 8 miles per hour spinning local windmills. Then on Friday night, the snow really gets here around 9 or 10 p.m., might become snow or sleet at times, and possibly rain depending on your height, elevation, and location, as some areas near the river will get more water, and sometimes the mountains will get more of the rain because the cold air will settle in the valley. Chance of precipitation is 100%, and 4 to 8 inches of snow are possible. Saturday, that continues, mixed with sleet and possibly rain at times. Snow could be heavy at times also. There'll be a high of 36 on Saturday and an east wind 7 to 9 miles per hour spinning those windmills. Saturday night, the snow should be over. There could be a few remaining showers. Otherwise, it'll be mostly cloudy with a low around 26 with a northwest wind 7 miles per hour. Sunday should be partly sunny with a high near 40 and a low around 26. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears. And it's 35 degrees right now in Hudson, according to the MarySky.net website. 33 degrees, if Fahrenheit's your flavor, in Albany right now, that's 1 degree on the Celsius scale. And the weather forecasters are a bit all over the map, so to speak, about this storm. You may have some Chicken Little or... who is it that cried... Wolf about this storm after last storm, and there's an earlier storm where they said more snow and then it became less. Part of that was because there was wind from the south and it made this wind shear that blocked the mountains, blocked the snow from falling, and that's why Columbia County got so much less of the snow on that Sunday-Monday storm. Some of those conditions are in again here, so your results may vary about how much snow we get tonight, but anyway, next on the WGXC Morning Show, we're going to hear from Wayne Shorter, the 89-year-old jazz legend who was announced yesterday passed away And here is his Speak No Evil song from his Speak No Evil album from 1966, Wayne Shorter on the WGXC Morning Show. Thank you.
In you. You know you enthrall me, and yet you don't call me. It's making me blue. Pantone 292. Reno, Dakota, I'm reaching my quota of tears for the year. Alas and alack, you just don't call me back. You have just disappeared. It makes me drink beer. I know you're a recluse, you know that's no excuse, Reno, that's just a ruse. Do not play fast and loose with my heart. Reno, Dakota, I'm no Nino Rota, I don't know the score. Have I annoyed you, or is there a boy who, well, he's just a whore. I've had him before, it makes me drink more.